canonization ceremony in Rome in 1925. The popularity of relics began during the persecution of Catholics by the Roman Empire in the first 3 centuries, when martyrs' bodies were venerated. Although Catholics in Europe regularly use relics in asking saints to pray to God on their behalf, Americans are not that familiar with it. As Americans, we're not used to seeing body parts. We're not into relics. Some of our parishioners are like, ew, why would you want to see the heart? I'd like to see an incorrupt heart. I certainly would. And there's a picture of it and everything. Well, if they have the picture, maybe I'll see if... I doubt this is online, because this is a special section of the paper for Queens. Now, what I need to look up... What is that? Lives of the Saints... What is that list? What do they call the... You're not Catholic. What do they call that list where they... Just where they tell you every saint is the saint of something. You know, the saint of crazy people, the saint of finding lost things. I need to find out Yes, that's what you call it, the patron saint. Patron saint. All right, so he is Saint... John Vianney, V-I-A-N-N-E-Y, that's the word. Patron saint of, let's see if you get it. Patron saints index, Saint John Mary Vianney. Because, you know, when they, oh, he was very skinny. Also known as, his memorial is the 4th of August, blah, blah, born, died, name meaning, canonized, patronage. Nothing much. He's the patron saint of the Archdiocese of Dubuque, Iowa, and the patron saint of the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas. And he is the patron saint of confessors. So he's not like the patron saint of anything good. Like, you know, insanity or something. All right, well, we looked it up. But in the meantime, his heart is coming over here. Oh, I never even thought of that when I was reading this. You know, what's good? Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. This can't come into the country. This is like an Arab heart. It's not an incorrupt. What is an incorrupt heart? I never heard of an incorrupt heart. You know, they'll be stopping him at customs. There's no such thing as an incorrupt heart. Look around you. How could that be? Oh, Jesus. So, did we all march Bush late? You know, I really just, I've discovered something. You can't turn on CBS. But sometimes you have to. But I am again, last night, 9 o'clock, all right? I had listened, Michael Savage last night, I knew it. I said he was either going to take the night off or he was going to say kill all the Muslims. So he was there. He played part of his show from 9/11. You know, from the, you know, 9/11/01. And basically, he said, kill all the Muslims. You know, then if somebody says, you're saying to kill all the Muslims, he says, I never said that. Only the ones who want to kill us. But of course, you know, please, we all know what he means. And I say, all right, this idiot Bush is talking. And all I want to do is see 2.5 men, although they're still in repeats. But you can watch them twice. Sometimes you can watch them 3 times. And this was the one where they ended last season. It was kind of a cliffhanger because Charlie Sheen was going to marry that fucking bitch. Who I only wish they would get her out of the show for good. That Mia Mara, whatever her name is. And then John, marries the other one, the dopey girl. Nice, the dopey girl, Candy. But I want to see that again, because that was a good episode. So, who knows? Bush needed 16 to 18 minutes. And are they going to talk after? Are they going to put on 2.5 men at 17 after? So, I had no choice. I had to turn on CBS. And there she was again. There she... You can't escape this fucking woman. This Katie Couric is like a stalker. You say, I don't want to watch her do the news. But she's like every minute. There's not a moment of the day or night. She can't turn on CBS. And this woman just, you know, she's like Jason leaping out of the grave in a horror movie. Although I'll say one thing. She ought to stick to sweaters and not blouses. She looks much better in a sweater. You know, she wears a sweater with like a blazer. She looks much better to me than in a blouse. I don't like blouses. And blue, she looks good in blue, you know, because she has fake blonde hair. So there she is. Oh, we're going to the Oval Office. And then, you know, he gets done with his campaign speech. He shouldn't have mentioned Iraq. You know, nobody believes he was going to mention Iraq. Everybody always gives him too much credit. People don't underestimate him. People overestimate him. Everybody's saying, well, you know, this is a 9/11 speech. He wouldn't be so crass as to mention Iraq. He wouldn't make it sound like a campaign speech just because... You know, like 9 states in the District of Columbia happen to have primaries today. Just because, you know, it's 56 days till the election, he wouldn't be that crass. But he was. We misoverestimated him. He certainly did mention Iraq. So, and then she comes back, Katie Couric. The stalker from CBS. Leave me alone. I couldn't watch 60 Minutes. I'm very interested in how they are screwing those poor people who went down to ground zero and are now going to be sick the rest of their lives. And of course, everybody's, well, prove you got sick down there. You know, screwing them. It is just such a horrible story, and it's one of those things I predicted, like, the week after 9/11. I'm saying, oh, my God, you know the air is no good, and you know people are going to get sick, and you know nobody's going to want to pay for their medical care. I swear to God, I wish I had saved the tape. Because I said that before the end of September in 2001. And, of course, it's happening, because it's just... You get to be a certain age, and I think if you can't see certain things coming, you're really a moron. You know, I mean, that's, you've just seen things like this so many times. So they did a thing on 60 Minutes Sunday night, you know, where Christy Todd Whitmore, I didn't tell anybody the air was fine. Oh, please. You know, in the city, where, you know, now you have Christy Whitman and Giuliani, you know, each accusing the other. And Giuliani, being the baby he is, he says, well, my health could be badly affected, too, because I was down there all the time. She never said. In the meantime, according to Juan Gonzalez in the New York Daily News, it was Giuliani's people falsifying all their records of testing the air for lead. I don't know why, but the city was testing for lead. And it was because Giuliani was so hot to reopen the stock exchange. So she may have been lying about one bunch of things. And he was apparently, from what I read in my opinion, because he's a big sewer, that guy, you know, he, it seems like, was lying about a whole other bunch of things. But I love this. Well, I could be sick. My health could be good. If only you couldn't breathe and you couldn't talk. That would be like a great achievement for America. Rudy, America's mayor. Maybe that's what gave him prostate cancer. Even though he had it before. You know, just blame him. Oh, my health, because I was there. And I didn't wear a mask. They make me wear a respirator. Jesus. So everybody, you know, so I couldn't watch it because it was the Katie Couric story. Well, maybe they'll lay low now. I mean, you know, we've had enough of her. It's enough of her. Meredith starts tomorrow. But I don't get up that early. I try never to be up before 9. Woke up today at 6:30. And like, sometimes you can fall back asleep, but not when they start at 7:30 across the street with the earth movers or whatever they're doing. Now, it says here, what a great phrase, anticipointment. CBS Evening News with Katie Couric on Monday, third place, lasted a whole week. Good first week, Katie. Third place yesterday. Nightly News takes back top spot with a 5.8 rating, 11 share. ABC finished second on Monday with a 5.7. So NBC Nightly News. What's that, Brian Williams? I don't watch those news. All right, so she's finished. That was quick. You know, everything moves faster now. You know, it used to take like years till somebody would fail at something. Now, that's it. Week all over. Somebody has to check the view ratings. See, but Barbara Walters doesn't want Rosie to blog about the view, and she seems to be following it. But she did say that they had to cut her chair down 3 inches, Rosie, because Rosie, I mean, I've never studied Rosie O'Donnell's body particularly. She's apparently, I don't know how tall she is. She's not especially tall. You know, she's kind of average. But apparently she's got a long torso. Now, some people, it's like Drew Barrymore who always says she has legs like a corgi. That Drew Barrymore, apparently all her height is from her waist up. And she's short. I mean, she's pretty short, Drew Barrymore. But most of that height is from her waist up. I forget, there's long-waisted and short-waisted. I think that's called long-waisted. But apparently Rosie, more of her height is from her waist up. And she said it made her look so huge next to Barbara Walters that by the second or third day, they cut her chair down. You know, so that she wouldn't look so big. Because she's sitting on the end and then Barbara Walters is sitting next to her. It's also maybe, see, you couldn't tell, she looked very fat. She did look very fat because she shouldn't be on the end. I think, because you're looking at her from the side and she's, you know, she's heavy. But she's heavy to the point where even I'm going, oh my God, she looks like so heavy. So, I don't know, but they had to cut her chair down. But Rosie, now, if every time I turned on whatever channel that's on, to ABC, and saw Rosie, I wouldn't mind, I'd be happy. But to turn on every time CBS, that fucking Katie Couric, Jesus, could put a bag on her head, put a sock in her mouth and a bag on her head. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
Real liberal talk radio. This is Sirius Left 146. You're locked on the left. Sirius Left 146. Ed Schultz stands up for hard-working Americans afternoons at 3 East, noon West. The Young Turks tell you what's really going on at 6 East, 3 West. And Stephanie Miller shakes up the righties at 9 East, 6 West. Real liberal talk radio. Sirius Left 146.
Are you an entrepreneur? Have a small business? If sounding professional and being accessible to your customers is important, you should sign up for GotVmail. GotVmail is a virtual PBX or hosted telephone system that can be customized for one employee or 10. Your small business can sound like a Fortune 500 company overnight. Features include a virtual toll-free or local number with a customized main greeting, multiple mailboxes for departments or employees, dial by name directory, music on hold, and more. Have calls such as sales or support forwarded to your cell phone, home office, anywhere. Voicemails can be emailed to you as MP3 audio attachments and faxes as PDFs. Traditional phone systems cost thousands of dollars. Got VMail starts at only $9.95 a month. There are no long-term contracts to sign and no hardware or software to purchase. Sign up today at gotvmail.com. That's GOTVMAIL.com. Got VMail, the professional sound of today's small business.
Stephanie Miller, left-wing wacko, and proud of it.
You might be killed by frozen peas in aisle four.
Why would the terrorists go to supermarkets? I don't get it.
Maybe they're hungry.
They don't have good fresh produce in Pakistan. They're stuck in their caves.
They need toilet paper. Maybe they need copies of Star Magazine.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
9 p.m. East, 6 West on
Real Liberal Talk Radio.
Sirius Left 146.
Alex Bennett. Mornings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on Real Liberal Talk Radio. Sirius Left 146.
Oh, is that, what is that on TMZ? I didn't even notice that. You have... There is a picture on TMZ, but all the way down, I think, of Drew Barrymore on the cover of this month's Elle magazine. I can hardly wait to get it. I get Elle magazine. I get all those magazines. She just looks so beautiful. She lost only 20 pounds, but she started taking yoga, and she said, like, her whole body is just shaped differently. She's so beautiful, so... Garrett was looking for it. He said, oh, she had a crush on Cameron Diaz. But she slept with girls. She was a drunk by the time she was 9 and a drug addict by the time she was 13. Or the other way around, I forget. But by the time she was 13, she was a drunk and a drug addict. You know, so believe me, if anybody should be giving, like, what do they call those idiots? Motivational speakers, it should be her. This is somebody who really got her shit together. That girl was a mess. She was a mess. And look at her. She's really a power in Hollywood. She's producing movies. You know, she's really something. Even though that last Charlie's Angel was a dud. Which, see, men can keep making movies that bomb out. And yet they keep going, you know. And people are not that forgiving to what, but what's new? What's not? I already, by the way, read one really bad review of the Black Dahlia, of the Brian De Palma movie. Brian De Palma is one of these weird directors. Some of his movies are like the greatest movies ever made. And some of his movies are the worst. He's one extreme or the other. He is definitely, Brian De Palma just goes from one extreme to the other extreme. And of course, I like the weird movies that he made. Sisters. Didn't he make Sisters? Because he's a very, no, I don't want to put in his name yet. I want to put in IMDb. It's really no news, except, well, what does it mean that there was a terrorist attack on our embassy in Syria? That's not a good sign. Is that a good sign? First of all, Syria, they're all supposed to be terrorists over there, right? We hate them. Don't we want to kill everybody in Syria? It's like Iran, Syria, you know, so who's being a terrorist? If the whole government is supposed to be terrorists. Unless the government... See, now Condoleezza Rice thanked them and said, oh, you were so wonderful, you thwarted the attack. Now maybe, you know, you could be our friend. So maybe they did the attack themselves to make friends. But it sounds very weird. Yeah, plus, who even knew we had an embassy in Syria? We don't have an embassy in Iran. Everybody's already saying how crappy Syria is, and they're a terrorist country, and they don't like Israel, and they don't like us, and, you know, they're not part of the axis of evil. So there was this, what sounded to me like an extremely primitive
once in khaki suits. Gee, we looked swell for that Yankee doodle dum. Half a million boots went slugging through hell.
Go wrong listening to that every day of your life. I have that on my MP3. Now, I played that yesterday. Maybe I'll play it tomorrow. I just love that. That's George Michael. And you can get it. I mean, I'm sure you can buy it as a download, but it's the B-side of the single of A Something Affair. It's like $6 for two songs. Probably better off to find it and download it. But I can't because I have Windows ME. Nothing wants to download onto Windows ME, which is good. I think that's good. But my laptop, I keep saying I could go to iTunes, I could go to all of that, but I don't want to put credit card numbers in my laptop. My laptop is a virgin, and it goes to hotels and stuff where you're like on these networks that God only knows who can be hacking in. So it's all right. I get enough music. What is the AP up to? Gunman repelled at U.S. Embassy in Syria. Astronauts lose bolt during spacewalk. Oh, God, you can't drop things in space. They dropped a bolt, a spring, and a washer. Just like they were like in the garage. They'll fall down to earth and kill somebody. But it could. It'll just float around up there and it'll bang into something. Iraq PM makes first official visit to Iran. Better get a bulletproof vest. We'll have the hit squad out on him. Oh yes, this is primary day. In 9 states and the District of Columbia, I myself am going out and voting against Hillary. Yes, I am. Madonna's singing in Moscow tonight. Okay. I'm voting against Hillary today. Because I know she's going to win. I know she's going to win, but I think that somebody should acknowledge that in New York, we have a guy named Jonathan Tessini who's running against Hillary Clinton in the primary to be senator, and he's like totally anti-war. So I'm going to acknowledge it. He has, in the latest poll, 91% of the vote. I mean, she has. 9%. So I think we're safe. I like protest votes. I'm voting against Elliot Spitzer. Elliot Spitzer also has, what is it like? I don't know, 70, 80, 90% of the primary vote to run for governor. And I'm saying, you know what? I'm going out and voting for Tom Suozzi. I don't care. You know, I feel bad for him. I feel bad for these people. So I'm going to vote. Now, I just read that there are federal monitors in New York. Federal monitors for the elections in Queens, that's my borough, and the Bronx. Why would that be? Well, because so many people in the borough of Queens and the borough of the Bronx in New York City complain that there aren't enough fucking translators for all the fucking scumbags who don't even belong in my country who can't speak English. That's why. I guess if they can vote, they probably are here legally, but I wouldn't be so sure about that either. I don't think you should be allowed to vote if you can't speak English. I don't think they should have translators. I don't want people who can't speak English voting. No, I don't. Even if you're here legally. And how many of them are? You know, it really is a problem when you think. First of all, you know, there was this big thing about renewing the Voting Rights Act, which really was for black people, you know, to stop laws being put into place, literacy tests and poll taxes. But this translation shit is part of this Voting Rights Act. How did that get in there? Who woke up one day and said, oh my God, well, why should a person have to speak the English language in the United States of America to be able to vote? Whose brilliant idea was that? What idiot, what moron decided that you don't have to speak English to vote? That somebody has to pay people. And I live in a borough where I can't imagine they couldn't have enough translators. They could. My borough is like the third world and the fourth world and the fifth world. Nobody speaks English, but they all speak other languages. There are people. We have Spanish-speaking people, Korean-speaking people, Chinese, Japanese, there are people from there are people from so many countries. You couldn't get enough you wouldn't be able to get the voters into the polling place if you had translators for every language. Who thought this up? Why didn't somebody say, You know something? Even if you're here legally, if you can't be bothered to learn the English language, too bad. You'll vote when you can figure out how to speak English. That's what I'd say. I'm sorry. I know that sounds like some right-wing maniac, but it doesn't. It's the way right-wing maniacs talk, but to me, it sounds like the way, like, some sane person would talk. So, I'll tell you one thing about living in a neighborhood full of illegal aliens. I've never had to wait more than 10 minutes to vote. So I guess the illegals aren't voting. But this may be the next to last time I ever vote, because this is the primary. This is the primary today. And then, you know, then there's November. Then there's 8 weeks from today is the election. And then, oh, by the presidential election in 2008, New York is going to have electronic voting. Now, that's how you're going to know they're fixing elections. I'll tell you, when New York votes Republican, so they have to be careful and not give themselves away. They really can only pull that in states that are like a little iffy. You know, like in New York State, if suddenly New York City in 2008 voted for the Republican candidate for president, that might give people pause. It really might. You know, people might say, isn't that peculiar? New York City, full of your black people and your Hispanic people and your, you know, only one third a white city. And they went for the Republican. That might make somebody look into something. But I always said, once we get electronic vote, oh, I can. Can you imagine all the people who can't speak English trying to vote on electronic voting machines? And of course, we all know the kind of people who work at the polls. We all know there is something wrong with them all. Maybe not where you live, but where I live. People, you know, I've noticed something. Well, I can tell you, I have just been flashed a news flash. Wait, I can't type and talk. Okay, I have just been flashed a news flash from Paris, France. And there seems to be a new footwear craze in Paris, France, that this person keeps seeing all over the streets of Paris, France. One boot and one flip-flop. And I would tend to say, please. But this person says, I have seen it like all over the place. People are walking around in one boot and one flip-flop. How could you even walk? And then you have one foot that's really cold and one foot that's warm. That doesn't make any sense. You see, they'll do anything in France. One cold foot and one hot foot. How odd is that? All right, so that's it. This is from the horse's mouth, the person wandering around the streets of Paris, France. One flip-flop and one boot. Maybe it's like a special day. Maybe it's the one flip-flop, one boot day. Maybe it's like a holiday. Maybe it's only today. We'll have to see. Like, if it's, you know, every day. You know, it's so pathetic. People who travel, you can't take any of this stuff. Now, I guess if you're willing to check a bag, you know, it's not so bad. But there are people, especially male people, that they don't want to check a bag, right? So if you travel only with carry-on, you land in France, right? And you don't speak any French. And you check into the hotel. And what is the first thing a person has to do if they wear contact lenses? They have to go out and find contact lens solution in another language. I don't know how you would say. I know like four words of French. Bonjour, bonsoir. I guess four. Merde. Oh, we all, merde is French, right? Is merde French or Spanish? They're all the same. That's about it. Huh? I can't drive, so the car can't go. Escargot. That's only if you want to eat it. I need snails. What is un tout cas? Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? That's funny. I nearly brought a Lady Marmalade in today. I was looking through all the filthy CDs. They're filthy because you don't dust them. Who takes your CDs out and dusts them? You know, so I'm saying, oh, God, I should take all my CDs out and dust them. All right, somebody's holding on. I'm just trying to read all the Hamas is going to negotiate with Abbas. Hamas. They had an outdated thing. What else is going on? Marine faces hearing. You know, I never talked about the fact that these Marines and soldiers, you know, that are accused of these horrible crimes in Iraq, you know, raping the 14-year-old girl and then killing her entire family. That was a bad one. And all these random crimes against civilians. That was the worst. Oh, then there was the guy that they wanted him to become some crippled guy. The Iraqi was crippled. And they wanted him to become like an informant for the military. And he didn't want to do it, so they killed him. Our soldiers. And all you can say is they're going insane over there. But do you know that they are recommending a bunch of them that if they're convicted, that they get the death penalty? That's wrong. That there are mitigating circumstances. You know, mitigating circumstances being you're in Iraq. I can't imagine a crime that would be so horrible that a United States soldier could commit in Iraq that I would think they should get the death penalty. I really can't. I can't think of anything. If they took like a 2-year-old baby, you know, and ripped it apart, I still wouldn't think they should get the death penalty. You can't put people in that extraordinary situation and hold them to like normal standards of behavior. I mean, you certainly don't say, well, go rape 14-year-olds and rip babies apart with no consequences. They have to go to prison. But to say the death penalty? We all know who should face the death penalty for Iraq. You know, after being tried at The Hague. And I said the same thing about Bill Clinton. I did, when he was bombing Kosovo. Oh, we didn't know a train was going over the... Oh, we didn't know that was the Chinese embassy. Remember that? When he was having that fucked up war in Kosovo, whatever that was about, for humanitarian purposes. But, like, while they were... it was like, look, we're dropping bombs anyway, so let's accidentally bomb the Chinese embassy. Who believed that was an act? They don't know where it is, not a map. They showed afterwards, they had maps that said Chinese embassy on it. Oh, we didn't notice we had an old map. Oh, God. So even Bill Clinton could be driven, you know. I don't think that's right to say they should face the death penalty. I really don't. Lynn Samuels, is it time? Oh, it's more than time. Sirius Left, 146.
Real liberal talk radio. This is Sirius Left 146. America, the way it's supposed to be. On Sirius Left 146. Catch the Young Turks weekdays at 6 p.m. East, 3 West. Laugh out loud at all things conservative with Stephanie Miller, 9 p.m. East, 6 West. And don't miss Tom Hartman, Midnight East, 9 West. Real liberal talk radio. Sirius Left 146.
Everyone loves their Sirius satellite radio, but there is a downside. Otherwise, law-abiding people are sneaking off with their family members' radios. Good thing I always keep mine right here. Fortunately, during the Hey, Get Your Own Sirius event, you'll get a free Sirius radio when you add a second subscription for just $6.99 a month. That's a free radio for whoever keeps running off with yours. For more information or to order your free radio, call 1-888-SIRIUS-1 today. Sirius satellite radio, the best radio on radio.
Applies to Sirius 1 model only. Requires purchase of an additional 6-month subscription.
This is a Dirt Town News Flash.
Claude Clump reporting live from the bedroom carpet. Chaos rules as dirt wads brace for the storm to end all storms. It's been sheer panic since we broke the news that the Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 vacuum was headed this way. Dirt residents are boarding up their homes, but it's pointless because the Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 vacuum has two patented air tunnels that suck up dirt and channel it away for good. It's on the horizon now!
The Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Vacuum, proven to clean carpet better than any other leading brand. As tested per ASTM International Test F608.
The Young Turks.
There are other people like Rush Limbaugh. Their job is to demagogue for their team. Team Republican says, we have more wars. Rush Limbaugh tries to create more wars. He doesn't care what the consequences are. He doesn't care about his so-called conservative principles, because it's not at all conservative to get involved in other people's wars. That's the least conservative principle ever.
The Young Turks, 6 p.m. East, 3 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146. Bill Press, right before Alex Bennett, mornings at 6 East, 3 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Oh, my God. Well, yesterday, they evacuated Penn Station in New York because somebody lost a duffel bag. They left the duffel bag. Today, they evacuated part of the Port Authority bus terminal because somebody left a suspicious device on top of an empty bag in a passenger area of New Jersey Transit. It was a grenade-shaped perfume bottle. But they didn't notice it was a perfume. And they also had a big evacuation in Los Angeles because they found a suspicious packet. Oh, please, get over it. Get over it. Has anybody ever found anything that was dangerous? Ever? Have they ever had like an evacuation and everybody's hysterical and they said, oh my God, this is really sad? No. No, they've never found anything. A perfume bottle. Because, you know, it's September the 12th. Oh. You know, I bet you, I don't know how you would run a poll like this. I don't know how you would ask this poll. How much do you want to bet that there is a percentage of people, I'd say at least 20%, who think that there was a significance to September the 11th, before September the 11th, 2001? How much do you want to bet? It seems like totally unbelievable to Garrett. I bet you. I don't know how you would ask this. But I bet you there are people who believe that September the 11th was something. Before September the 11th was something. The same way there was a certain percentage of people, I will never forget this, and I can't find the polling on this. There was a percentage, I don't know what it was, because I can't find the polling, because I forget how the question was asked. There was a certain percentage of people in the 2000 election that thought they were voting for the other Bush. That's one of those things, you know, it's like how I can't say Ahmadinejad. Oh, he did it. He did it by making it sound Italian. a Medina job. That guy did it. I'm a Dean Martin. I'm a Dina job. All right. It's like I'm never going to be able to say his name. There are certain things that are embedded in my brain, right? And one of them is that there was polling that shut. Now, I don't care if it was 1% and it was more than that. There were people who did not understand that in the year 2000, the man running for president was a different man than the man who had been the president. So I wouldn't be surprised if I'm positive. I bet anything that there are people that think there was some significance to September the 11th. There's already, what, 40% of people don't know what year it was. What year September 11th, 2001 happened. And they're all old people. They're all people over 40. How amazing is that? How screwed up is that? Jumped on the bandwagon because I guess their part of it came yesterday, maybe. American Airlines is now pissed at ABC. They can sue. You know something? They can sue ABC. There's no political ramifications to American Airlines suing the ass off ABC. Right? No political ramifications. They slandered American Airlines, although I'll tell you something, every horrendous experience I ever had on an airplane happened to have been, did they advertise American Airlines? And they never will. Was always on American Airlines. Every horrible thing, the people dying in the bathroom, well, nobody died. The stuck on the runway for 2.5 hours. Where the guy didn't know there was a flat tire on the plane until the guy in the airplane behind him told him. Every horror, you know, like where you think, oh my God, you know, like you could have been dead or something, was always American Airlines. But that 9/11 show slandered American Airlines. Because they showed, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch like 1 second yesterday. I watched a little bit Sunday. They showed, was it Muhammad Atta? I forget which one. He's the only one whose name anybody remembers. So we call them all Muhammad Atta. They show him getting on a plane at Logan Airport. They show him getting on an American Airlines plane at Boston's Logan Airport, and his name pops up as like a security risk. And all American Airlines does is say, hold his bags, don't put his bags on the plane till he gets on the plane. Now, that happened, but it happened at the Bangor main airport. It was a different airline. And what they don't bother to mention is that, you see, this is why I think people are confused about September the 11th. Prior to September the 11th and on September the 11th, if somebody came up on the computer at the airport as a security risk, all you were supposed to do was hold the bag and not put it on the plane until they were on. Because up until then, all that had ever happened was, what was it, that guy who wanted to kill his mother who put the bombs in the airplane, in the luggage? That was all that had ever happened. You know, except for the hijackings and, you know, in the 70s. But the one thing they knew is that there was what plane? It was like so long ago. And I think it turned out the guy put bombs in suitcases, had them loaded onto the airplane. He didn't get on the airplane, but his mother got on the plane. And the whole idea was he wanted to kill his mother. Something like that. So the airline, number one, was following exactly the protocol that was in place on September the 11th of 2001. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to do. And secondly, it was not American Airlines, nor was it Logan Airport. He flew from Bangor, Maine to Logan Airport. So American Airlines is furious. And they could use the money, you know. They could use the, any money they can get to hire stewardesses who are nicer. And, well, they're getting screwed, too. Actually, they real. Oh, God, those poor stewardesses on American Airlines. But they ought to sue ABC. And you realize that when they can't get something so simple correct, you know, that one, that whole thing with the airline is so symptomatic of, you know, people are arguing what did Sandy Berger do and Madeleine Albright do and what did this one say and what. This is like a simple fact. This is something you could check so easily, right? What is the reason to lie about this? If they can't get something that you can't dispute, this isn't a matter of philosophy. This is a matter of what plane he got on, where he was spotted as a security risk, and what they did about it. There's no interpretation. So if they can't get something that simple correct, what can they do? What can, I mean, it's just horrible. They can sue. All right. Oh, political moderates and let's talk about Lincoln Chafee when we come back. Oh, my God, this program is so exciting, I can hardly stand it myself. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
Tired of hearing liberals are wimpy? We'll show those blustering blowhards. Real liberal talk radio, Sirius Left, 146.
So, this morning, I went to work in Chicago. I made a 10 o'clock meeting with colleagues in New York. At 1 o'clock, I presented to clients in Seattle. And by 2, I met my boss at headquarters in Atlanta. Sound impossible? Think again. The possibilities are endless when you use GoToMeeting, because now you can conduct your meetings online. You'll never be held back by time or space again. You can literally meet with anyone located anywhere in the world, anytime. It's so easy. Simply set up your meetings in advance or on the fly. Everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and they see everything on your PC. So you can spend less time talking and more time doing. Sirius subscribers can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the radio microphone, and use promo code Sirius. That's GoToMeeting.com, radio microphone, promo Sirius. Collaborate with coworkers down the hall or clients across the country with GoToMeeting.
My name's JR. If you know me, fine. If you don't, that's okay, too. But if I tell you something, take it to the bank, and I'm telling you, Sinus Buster is a miracle product. Migraines, sinusitis, cluster headaches, the stuff that kills you, that racks you with pain, Sinus Buster can relieve instantly. Where do you find it? SinusBuster.com. That's SinusBuster.com. www.SinusBuster.com. Don't suffer any longer. The power of the pepper in Sinus Buster.
Looking for someone to buy your timeshare?
Timeshares Only told us what our timeshare was worth right over the phone and then sold it for more than we expected.
Call now to find out what your timeshare is worth, and we'll send you a free information kit, including 10 secrets to buying and selling timeshares.
Buyers keep calling by the thousands, and we need timeshares to keep up with their demands.
Call 1-800-391-3274 to find out what your timeshare is worth and get your free information kit. Dial 1-800-391-3274. 1-800-391-3274.
Serious.
The Young Turks, weekdays at 6 p.m. East, 3 p.m. West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Who knows? Garrett thinks they probably will. Who knows? Nobody's ain't balls anymore. Somebody said that if Clinton, you know, and all those people sue, that ABC will stand for Albright, Berger, and Clinton. They'll get that. Look, believe me, if Walt Disney and ABC went out of business tomorrow, I would only be thrilled because of the way they treated me and what scumbags they were to work for. So, there are primaries in 9 states and the District of Columbia today. Arizona, my favorite state. Delaware, Maryland, D.C., Wisconsin, Vermont, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New York, and Rhode Island. Okay? And Rhode Island is the big test. This is another one of these weird primaries. Lincoln Chafee has been a senator for a while. I have no idea how long. I've read like 7,000 articles about him, and it never stuck in my mind, frankly, how long he's been a senator from Rhode Island. Now, the thing is, Lincoln Chafee is to the Republicans what Joe Lieberman was to the Democrats, a big, fat old pain in the ass. Lincoln Chafee is, I believe, the only Republican who voted against the war in Iraq. He voted against taking away your Social Security. He's like a really good guy. He's like a guy that, you know, if you're a Democrat, you think I'd vote for him. Which is exactly the problem. Because the more vociferous kind of Republicans think about him exactly the way we thought about Joe Lieberman, that he's a big old sack of shit, and he might as well just switch parties. You know, and why is he pretending he's a Republican and we hate his guts? So that's how, you know, the crazy Republicans think about him. So there is this really, really, really right-wing guy running against him in the primary, who is the mayor of Cranston, Rhode Island, named Steve Laffey, L-A-F-F-E-Y. And this weird thing is going on, okay? The Republican Party is not, like, you know, majorly in love with Lincoln Chafee, because he's always, you know, he's a thorn in their side and a pain in their ass and all of that stuff. But they are pouring money into Rhode Island. Not because they like Lincoln Chafee. Why are they pouring money into the state of Rhode Island supporting Lincoln Chafee? Because they're polling, which is always right as long as Bush isn't running, shows that Lincoln Chafee could get elected again like that. I licked the wrong finger. Like that. And this Laffey guy that's running against him in the primary couldn't be elected on a bet. Because, you know, the saying is, in the primaries, you go for the base. You go, like, so far to the right or so far to the left, you know, and then you get the base, and the base comes out, and you become the candidate, and then you either have to, like, move right back to the middle, which pisses off the people who voted for you in the primary, or you have to stay right where you are, and you lose. Now, the Republican Party knows that this guy, Laffey, cannot be elected the senator from the state of Rhode Island. He can't be. Totally cannot be elected. So they're pushing this guy that they don't even like. Because, you know, it's only six seats. Six seats will flip the Senate. They don't want to take the... And in this wonderful undemocratic way, and this is why I hate both parties. This is why you must hate all political parties. What did the Democrats do to Lieberman? Or what did some of them? They said, I mean, basically now they're all supporting Ned Lamont. But there are still some people supporting Joe Lieberman. Well, what does the Republican Party have to say about if this guy Steve Laffey wins the primary? Which, I'm sorry, if you don't like it, tough shit, but it's what the voters who bothered to go vote want. So it would seem to me it's your problem that you have got to support this guy. Did they, Republican Party of Rhode Island, the National Republic, they're not supporting this guy if he happens to, if he wins the primary. And it's very close. I mean, the, you know, it would be irrelevant. But it's number one, very close. And number two is all going to depend. Lincoln Chafee is not a very exciting person, I don't think. You know, and this guy is like all piss and vinegar, this Leafy guy. So it's really in a primary, who's going to get people to come out and vote? But how anti-democratic are the Republicans? Too bad. You know, this and all, you know, it's like exactly, well, we want the Palestinians to have an election. Oh, they picked Hamas? Fuck them. You can't do that. So Rhode Island is going to be very interesting. This guy, Leif, oh, God, you know, the Democrats do their oppo, too, their opposition research. And what did they dig up in college or something? Oh, my God, this guy wrote homophobic article after homophobic article. Oh, God, what a homophobe this Laffy is. And I presume the Democrats, though, who knows, maybe Chafee's people dug it up. You know, who knows? You never know who's screwing who. You really don't. Who is it? I will never forget this. I just read another article about this. I love this. Not that she isn't insane. But it is, what's her name? Catherine Harris. Who nobody ever wanted to run for the Senate seat in Florida, right? Who the Republican Party was trying to convince Joe Scarborough to run, to give up his fabulous TV show with the 23 listed, you know, viewers, and to run for the Senate. And he didn't want to. But who was afraid that he might? Catherine Harris was afraid Joe Scarborough might challenge her in a primary, and he would have won. So guess what she started talking about, Catherine Harris? Guess what a fellow Republican started talking about? She started talking about the dead intern in Joe Scarborough's office. Something you'd think the Democrats would mention. But no, his fellow Republican, Catherine Harris, kept saying, what about the dead intern in his office? That's why primaries are very dangerous, you know. This is like a proven political fact about the danger of primaries. Because you get two Republicans, right, going after each other. And if they really start smearing one another, then you have tainted whoever becomes the candidate. Say Joe Scarborough had run. Say he had become the Republican candidate, right? And then when Bill Nelson, the current senator, would say, Joe, what about the dead intern in your office? And he'd say, how dare you bring that up? And he'd say, me? I heard Catherine mentioned it during the primary. That's why you have to be careful during primaries, because it just becomes ammunition, you know, for the real other side. But you see, that's what's wrong with politics. Because it's so mean, it's so horrible. What about the dead intern in his office? I've often wondered about that. Oh, I should remind you that Alex is on Tucker Carlson at 4 o'clock today, and then they replay it at 6 in order to try to get an audience over 100,000. Nobody watches MSNBC. They've been calling me. At least they put him on a vaguely primetime show. I got two emails in the last 2 weeks from MSNBC. One of them, get this. One of them was to be on Labor Day Monday at 9 a.m. Right. Okay. And the other one, the other day, was to be on this Sunday, this past Sunday, at 11 in the morning. Now, 11 in the morning is like when all the real public affairs shows are on the networks. So, who would be watching MSNBC? I would love to see the ratings for MSNBC for 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I mean, they must exist somewhere, but, you know, you never see such a rating. I'd love to know, you know, when what is on the McLaughlin Group or, you know, Meet the Parade, because those shows are on at different times all over the country. So I just keep emailing back and saying, I'm sorry, I can't do it then. If somebody said be on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that I might be able to manage. 9 in the morning, 11 in the morning on a Sunday, yeah, right. Because obviously they can't get anyone to be on. So I looked up when I heard that Alex, because you'd think Alex would know better. I stopped going on cable TV when the Drudge Report started putting up the ratings. Once I realized, you take the biggest shows that will never get invited on, and they don't have such fabulous, huge audiences. Much less MSNBC. So I did look up Tucker Carlson, and they don't do the 4 o'clock showing. They start at 5. They start, you know, this source I have shows you starting at 5. So the 6 o'clock replay has 71,000. Please, I wouldn't put on clothes for 71,000 people. What is the point? And I think he was the only one with only 5 figures. I think everybody else was, I mean, even the most pathetic programs, even Glenn Beck, you know, makes it into 6. But you have to hand it, I give Tucker credit for one thing. Youth, I guess. Because, you know, Jerry Springer does a 3-hour-a-day radio show. And Tucker does his hour TV show. And it just shows you, first of all, that Tucker is younger than Jerry Springer, but that radio is harder than television. Because the great premiere tonight is on of Dancing with the Stars. And they're both on Dancing with the Stars. And Jerry Springer has already taken 3 days off from the radio. He was off Friday, today, yesterday, and today, right? Because he can't do the radio show. And Dancing with the Stars. And yet Tucker isn't taking off. Which just shows there is no preparation and no energy. You don't need anything to do one of those stupid TV shows, right? Or else Tucker would take off. Or Jerry would have been doing his radio. It just shows radio is much harder. There you go. I have that all figured out. Unfortunately, Alex is on. It's the same time as Judge Judy. And Michael's, I mean, there's no question. I mean, once my... That's when Michael Savage got... That's not even a discussion. There's no even a discussion of Alex on TV over Michael Savage. Judge Judy, you could jump back and forth and maybe catch the segment. 6 o'clock, please. 6 to 9, honey. I'm never going to get to see Ugly Betty. Particularly since I saw they have a big poster in the subway for Ugly, in the subway for Ugly Betty in Spanish. I'm going to deface it. I'm going to say speak English. I'm going to write speak English on it. I'm going to extra bring a Sharpie tomorrow. I'll probably get arrested because you're not allowed to do that. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to write speak English. They have no right. Don't you fucking put posters in my subway, in my country, in Spanish. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
This is Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
Hi, I'm Diane Rehm on NPR Now. I started out in 1973. Whatever you're not expecting, you're probably going to get on my show. You're going to hear people who are making the news, not only the politicians, but the doctors, the teachers, the individuals who are all part of what makes this world happen. Weekdays, 10 a.m., 9 p.m. Eastern on NPR Now, Sirius 134. Fabulous.
Thank you for calling Gateway. How can I assist you today?
I need computers for my new business.
Oh, no problem. Let's discuss your immediate needs and where you want to go in the future.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Let's get started.
Okay, great. Let me tell you what I'm looking for.
As a small business owner, you have a lot of concerns.
We don't want your technology to be one of them. See what our small business productivity tools, like ultra-reliable servers, powerful desktops, and the innovative M285 convertible notebook with Intel Centrino Duo Mobile technology, can do for your business. As technology consultants, we can help address your challenges with expert advice and personalized solutions. Now, with the purchase of a new gateway PC like the M285 convertible notebook with Intel Centrino Duo Mobile technology, we'll even throw in 30 free minutes of Answers by Gateway, where industry experts are available to answer all of your questions. Call 1-800-GATEWAY or visit gateway.com to find out how we can help your business succeed.
Tom Hartman.
Now, I've got serious problems about the integrity of voting machines, but my bigger problem, and this is the issue that nobody's talking about, that we all should be talking about, is that the voting machines are owned not by us, but by private corporations. Privatizing the vote is a felony against democracy. There's no other way to describe it. I want the corporations out of my vote. That's a felony.
Tom Hartman, noon East, 9 a.m. West on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Oh, you see, the other interesting thing about this primary in Rhode Island is only about 1 in 10 voters are Republicans. This is a very blue state, which is why Lincoln Chafee has to act like a normal human person, because there are so few actual Republicans. Oh, so I guess the reason they won't, even the Republican hierarchy won't support Steve Laffey. Well, in the same way, you know, that they're not supporting Catherine Harris in Florida. But there is something so anti-democratic. You know, I mean, democratic with a small d, obviously, in behaving this way. You know, you have to have some respect. People come out and vote. People in the state of Florida, the Republicans, wanted Catherine Harris to be the candidate. Now, whatever they think about her, it is an insult to the people who came out and voted. They're the ones who came out and voted. So they reveal themselves, as do the Democrats. There are some Democrats. I wish I could think offhand of who they are. But there are Democrats in Congress who are supporting Joe Lieberman. And that is equally an insult to the primary voters who selected Ned Lamont. As, I mean, actually, maybe it would just balance out, you know. But it's an insult to the voters, and it shows you why there is something inherently wrong and power-crazed and anti-democratic about these political parties in the first place. If you have no regard for the voters and how the voters vote, you know, then what exactly is the purpose of the political parties? Oh, to collect money. Oh, I forgot. Oh, okay. That explains everything. All right. If I live through the voting process, they don't have to translate for me because everything will be in Spanish. I will see you tomorrow. Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left 146. Thank you, Garrett. Goodbye.
Your America, the way it ought to be. Real Liberals on Radio, Sirius Left 146.
AP Radio News. I'm Ed Donahue in Damascus.